Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Standing on My Soapbox, your Monday through Friday rants, raves, and reviews talk radio show with the top stories in news, politics, and pop culture. Join your host, entrepreneur Scott Fullerton, and co-host, actor and writer Craig Hurley, right here at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time live, or subscribe and download on your favorite podcast distributors, including Spotify, Stitcher, and Apple and Google Podcasts. You're also invited to call in and share whatever is on your mind at 347-989-0126 during the live shows. So here we go. Stand up on our soapbox and let's start talking.
Well, hello there, everyone. Welcome to Standing on My Soapbox. It is Friday, October 11, 2019. We're at the end of a very busy news week. We've had lots to talk about this week. Thanks so much for tuning in. I am your host, Scott Fullerton. I'll be joined in just a couple seconds by my co-host, actor and writer, Mr. Craig Hurley. If you'd like to give us a call, tell us what's on your mind, how your week's been going, any of the stories that are of interest to you, give us a call right here at 347-989-0126. That's 347-989-0126. Let's go ahead and start the conversation. Mr. Craig Hurley, how the heck are you?
What's going on, dude?
Nothing but a thing, you know, just a beautiful day here in Northeast Ohio, enjoying the weather. It's a nice fall day here, liking it.
Yeah, well, get ready for this weekend.
Yeah, it's going to get a little cold and rainy
cold
tomorrow.
Cold temperatures, yep.
Yeah, a little cold and rainy tomorrow.
Currently blizzard in currently blizzard in the Dakotas and Minnesota.
Yeah, I mean, what did they say? Denver had a 68 or 64 degree temperature swing from 84 to snow. I mean, it's been a little wacky weather.
84 to below freezing. So they had 84 degrees on one day, and then the very next morning, it wasn't even day. The very next morning was below freezing, was 31, and they had freezing ice and about an inch of snow and 100 pileups on I-70. So they might want to implement this thing that they implemented a long time ago. We've had heated roadways for at least 40 years, maybe 60. So you might want to start heating those roadways in the areas where we get snow and ice.
Would be a good idea. We've only talked about it for a year, so I think it hopefully will be in the consciousness by now. That's for sure.
Only talked about it for, as long as we've been on this show. They've had heated roadways and heated sidewalks forever. Heated driveways, I mean, for easily 60 years. And
right.
I don't know why that hasn't been implemented in areas where we know it's going to freeze. We know it's going to snow.
No, exactly. You are right. What's going on?
It would avoid
all of those
pilots.
Die down?
Our winds died down, but they went over to California. Actually, it just picked up again now that you're talking about it. But we're only having like 15-mile-an-hour winds here in Vegas. I don't even know if a gust has gone over 20 over the past, all day. So,
That's not too bad,
of it's in California now.
Right. Yeah, they say those rolling blackouts we talked about yesterday cost like billions of dollars to the economy. It's turning out like a lot of people stayed home from school and work and everything else. So, was
it
not?
Yeah, it didn't really.
Thing.
They obviously didn't do it in. They did it in Fontana, but the problem is that because Fontana is currently on fire in Southern California, there's been at least 100,000 residents that have been evacuated. I don't know how many structures have burned, that was caused by a garbage truck that had garbage in it that was on fire, and he dumped it, and it caught the brush on fire where he dumped it. So, that's a city garbage truck, but I'm sure he was just concerned about, his truck blowing up and all of the above.
But I haven't heard about that one. I knew about the San Fernando Valley one. That one has like 13,000 homes that are under mandatory evacuation order right now. That Saddle Ridge brush fire.
Yeah, there's two fires. There's one in Fontana, and there's one over, which is in Riverside. And then there's another one that's closer in to Los Angeles. So,
wow.
Yeah,
too much.
Floodwater relocation program also. There's another idea that is easily implemented, and that will put out fires. It's just a big-ass sprinkler system. That's all it is. It really has nothing to do with helping with flooding. It has everything to do with helping with drought and assisting us to be able to live through it. You know, we're not doing a good job at this point. It's glaringly obvious.
Again, talking about it for a year, hopefully people will start getting a clue here. So,
I've been talking about floodwater relocation for since 2008. I've been talking about it for 11 years, and there have been people that have been interested in it. There's a professor in Boulder, and at the University of University of Colorado Boulder? I don't know, but there's a professor
that
was interested.
Colorado,
yeah,
Boulder.
Yeah, and there's been many engineers that have gone over it and looked at it. And they're like, where's the money coming from? And I'm like, well, where's the money coming from when your house burns down? So it's the same place, it's the same amount of money. And you just implement it into your already existing construction budget, which you get from the state via our taxes and you get from the federal government. So you just start implementing it and you go one step at a time with places that are already decimated. Start right now with an area that just got hit. Start in Fontana. Start in the area that just got hit. Because they'll get hit again, and next time you'll be able to stop that fire before it even starts.
Well, and Riverside is better than some as far as aqueducts and everything go. There are aqueducts down all through Palm Springs, Riverside, going through the area. So they have a quasi-system like that. Just not used to the way
not,
you describe it. But they have the transportation
idea
for the water already.
Right.
So it's just not set up to distribute it the way you're talking, but they definitely have the aqueducts there already.
Yeah, it would take pipes. Aqueducts aren't sufficient for helping out with fires. So it would take actual pipes or actual pipelines. So in order to create, spigots that are on the top of that and then create an area so that you can actually flood the area that is being caught on fire, that is on fire. So, because that's what I would do. I would turn the system on, and let it flood the area or at least sprinkle the area. And these are big sprinkler systems. It's not like it's a little tiny sprinkler system. A big sprinkler, big sprinkler system. It would also help out with the ecology, because it's a salmon relocation system, which is basically the idea that I had for floodwater. But they're doing it in I don't know if it's in Alaska or where it is that the salmon are spawning and they have to swim upstream, and they couldn't swim upstream because there was a blockage because of a dam and because of something else, and a landslide, I think. And so they set up a system where they actually shoot the salmon through a tube and over the dam and over the blockage so that they can get back into the river. And at the same time, they're taking things out like Asian carp, which are an invasive species and aren't supposed to be there. And they're able to take them out of the river when they're being shot through this tube. So it'll help with the ecology as well, floodwater relocation program, because we can, really access these things, like accessing a lake, dropping and raising the levels, the water levels, and you drop the water levels down to a point where all of these fish you can actually get to, all of these invasive species, you can actually get to them. So, and like the Asian carp, dude, you lower the water enough and they'll literally jump out of the water and commit hara-kiri. They will literally jump out and commit suicide. So, you know, it's like they've been known to, when you're driving through on a boat, they've been known to jump into your boat. So, you know, it would be actually really easy to do. Not a difficult thing. Currently, they've been electrocuting fish. Currently, in order to get rid of the Asian carp, I know on the Illinois River, because they really, and it's mainly Chinese transportation on boats and stuff like that. They bring eggs over and, you know, and then these invasive species get in through our waters. But they're pretty much all over the world at this point. I don't know what I was going to say. I lost my train of thought, dude.
I don't know. You're talking about electrifying fish. That's all I know.
Oh, yeah. No, in the Illinois River, I know that the Army Corps of Engineers have been gathering them together, forcing the Asian carp to go into one area, and then they'll electrocute them so that.
Oh, we lost Craig again. That wretched phone of his keeps going out right there in that section. But we've got a lot to talk about today. We hope you'll give us a call and join in the conversation, 347-989-0126. We have a lot to talk about on the impeachment update. We had an ambassador call in today. We have a top aide to Trump appearing on Monday. The ambassador to the EU will testify next week that did not show up yesterday. So we have that. We're going to talk about Trump's rally in Minnesota yesterday, stock market doing good today, and then we have some pop culture. So give us a call, 347-989-0126. And you are back.
Sorry, I dropped out there.
Yep,
sorry, man.
That's right.
At least I'm aware of it. At least I'm aware that it's my phone and nobody else's. There it goes again.
Right.
Did I drop out?
Nope.
Oh, I'm here. Yeah, but I was saying they're electrocuting them, you know, and they'll take out 1,000 fish at a time. So with that, but also the other fish are involved. So, you know, you don't want to be electrocuting fish that are supposed to be there. You know,
right.
You want to electrocute the ones or get rid of the ones that don't or aren't supposed to be there. And I don't know why we just don't have, you know, a big fish fry. Like, you know, make Asian carp a delicacy. Same with the lionfish that has absolutely destroyed a lot of Florida's reefs. We actually bleached those reefs, but the lionfish has gone in and just killed everything. Everything that it could eat, it does. So, you know, make these things a delicacy. And I know down in Miami, there's certain seafood restaurants that specialize in lionfish. And for that reason.
There you go. All right, let's jump into the news of the day then. Get off our little fishing expedition here. So much stuff going on. We have a lot of impeachment updates going on. We had the ambassador to Ukraine come in today. She was told last night by the Trump department not to come in because he's going to try to fight everything along his way. But they did a quick subpoena, and she came in on her own today, Ambassador Yovanovitch from Ukraine. She told lawmakers in a closed-door deposition day that she believes she was removed from office because of unfounded and false claims by people with clearly questionable motives, she said in her thing. Definitely talking about Giuliani, talking about this guy Sessions in that lost his election as congressman. And interesting, it's going to be interesting to see. It was a closed-door testimony, but she did have a opening statement that she put out publicly, and we'll hear, I'm sure, bits and pieces of the conversation the rest of the weekend. But she is not helping his case that much, that he had nothing to do in Ukraine, that's for sure.
Right. I think it's interesting. What's her last name?
Yovanovitch.
Yeah, we've got a it doesn't matter. We've just got characters with very similar names, and daylight sucks. And I think it's interesting that I chose these names long before I knew these people, or long before I looked at these people as if they were, you know, douchebags. But yeah, dude, I'm everybody's talking about impeachment, and I'm kind of wanting to not really talk about it. I mean, it's like you and I have been talking about this for a long time, you know? So
right.
I feel like, you know, it's like, guys, he's a horrible president. And if you don't recognize that, I don't know what to tell you. You know, I mean, you must be a horrible person. I don't know what to tell
right.
you. I mean, you know,
that's the whole thing. The Senate, we know, is not going to vote him out. They just don't have the spine, the Republican Party, to
correct.
Do it. So if he
correct.
Is impeached, he's going to stay in there. And unfortunately,
correct.
The history of impeachment is, given the party that is being impeached usually lets them go ahead politically. So, I mean, it's
right.
a huge risk to take with the election season coming up. And as you said, people, if you can't figure this out by now and you still vote him in, there's nothing we can do. It just, I don't know what's going to happen. If he gets through Russia and Ukraine unscathed, it's going to be a scary 4 years as far as I'm concerned. I think he will feel unbridled to do whatever the heck he wants. I mean, we have so much going on right now. He's been able to get away with so much without any checks and balances, that if he escapes this impeachment and gets reelected, it's going to be a very dangerous 4 years here in the United States. That's my prediction.
It's already dangerous. It's already been dangerous. This happens in history over and over again. We get a guy that a small group of people really like, and it's the same small group of people over and over again, and it's their ancestors were the same way that they are now. It's just that we actually see them, and we're in 2019. We're not in 1950. We're not in 1960 even. We are in 2019. So there's a lot of us that just stand up. We're not going to sit down for this. So there's a whole bunch of people out there that are willing to, you know, actually fight these other people. And it's always been that way with dictators. They always get this little tiny group of people that are fully supportive. And all those people in history, we write it down. And we're like, yeah, these are the people that did this, and then they're prosecuted for it. So,
right.
You know, I think that's the direction we'll be heading again. Like I said, those Nuremberg trials coming up here in Washington, D.C., they're not going to be a lot of fun. Not going to be a lot
yeah,
of fun for people that are corrupt.
I just don't know what else people are going to want to hear. I mean, this ambassador, I think, said a lot. We have the president's own admissions. I guess on Monday, this girl named Fiona Hill is scheduled to testify. She was a top aide to President Trump for quite a while on Russia and Europe. She plans to talk to Congress about Rudy Giuliani and that EU ambassador, Gordon Sondland, how they circumvented the National Security Council. Normally the White House channels where you go through stuff through Ukraine. They went all around that in all sorts of different ways. Then that ambassador himself, who didn't show up yesterday, who the White House said could not testify, has said today that he is going to testify against the White House wishes next week. But as I've said all along, he's going to be testifying for the president. He is a ambassador by money proxy, meaning he basically paid for his ambassadorship by giving $1 million donation to the campaign. And he's going to testify that, oh, no, Trump told me that this was all above board, even though his texts are highly suspect, because his texts say, when they ask him, when they tell him they can't believe that they're trading information, holding up aid to get information on Biden, he goes, let's talk about this offline. So he'll be in next week. So it's going to be some interesting testimony over the next week. This thing is moving so much faster than the two-year Mueller investigation did. And I think that's why it's catching people's attention a little bit more. And it'll be interesting to see how it pans out, because I just don't – I think there's too much going on to say there's no there there, which they've been trying to say all this time. It's going to be an interesting couple of weeks here.
Well, he just had a rally last night where he attacked another group of immigrants, the Somalians. Who there's a major in Minnesota, there's in Minneapolis, there's a huge contingent of Somalian immigrants there. And he completely attacked them as well as attacking their congressmen. This woman is a congressman, right? Or congresswoman, correct? Or senator?
Yeah,
No, she's congress.
Oh, yeah.
Congresswoman.
She's a congresswoman.
So, elected official, not somebody that donated and then got in. That's what dictators do, man. They attack every immigrant, and then they'll attack their base eventually.
Right.
That's what Hitler did. Because, the Christians in Germany.
Exactly. It's all he did was attack Ilhan Omar and her constituency. She said, she'll never get reelected again. But, hey, you're talking to people that drove into your rally. You're not talking to people in the district you're sitting in this rally. They're going to hear this over their news that you just dissed them to no end. And they're the ones that are going to read all these people that drove in for your rally are not going to be the ones that can stop this. And you just kind of – he just shoots himself in the foot all the time, which I'm happy for. But it's like – he was –
I'm just hoping that they're – I'm hoping that everybody's listening. I'm hoping that they're listening and that they're not afraid when the time comes to get out there and actually vote him out.
Right.
Just vote him out. But you have to show up to the polls.
You have to appreciate the irony of he said Joe Biden was the only thing he did in his vice presidency was kiss Obama's ass. And when you look at Mike Pence, who literally they have tape of putting his water bottle up and down the same way Trump did, the irony is just too delicious of him talking about Biden like that when you look at his vice president and how he does nothing. And maybe that's the vice president's job, is to be the official.
Is to just kiss the president's ass.
Of the president. But I think Pence has taken it to a new level. I wouldn't say – I'd say Biden in his words maybe, not in his actions. His actions, he was very independent on what he did. But I think by words, every vice president has to kind of pay homage to their president. It's just part of the job. That's what you're there to do. But he went off on Biden's son last night. Of course, went off on Biden, went off on Omar. He went off on the Somalis, as you said, and – you can tell this is all getting to him because he's always been vulgar. He's always been long-winded. There's a couple of videos circulating the internet, still pictures. 84 minutes in, you see these people looking at their text messages on their phones and kind of slumping in their chairs. And they're over it about 84 minutes into this rally last night. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out next year.
I don't watch his rallies. Because a president's not supposed to do that. A president is supposed to give a State of the Union address. Is what a president's supposed to do. You're not supposed to have any rallies. You don't need to have any rallies. You won the presidency. So why would you have any rallies? And it's supposed to be a State of the Union because you're supposed to be telling what the United States is going through and where we are being supportive. It's, that's what a State of the Union is. It literally says it in the title, State of the Union. So,
well, unfortunately, I can't fault him on this as much as I would like to, because we've extended the election cycle out so much that if you are an incumbent, a rally is basically the only thing you can do for re-election. We have these other candidates on the Democratic side that have been camped out in Iowa and New Hampshire for the last 6 months.
Yeah, but how about just doing your job? How about doing your job as president?
But I don't
you know,
mind.
Just,
I don't
just
mind
do your job,
rally
and then you won't have
week,
to worry about
it. I don't have a problem with that. I think you need to have something to counter.
That's another
what your
dictator
other
move.
Side is doing.
Just
but,
do your job and do it well, and then nobody's going to be complaining about you, and you'll be reelected. Just do your job.
Yeah, amazing how that works, huh? You actually do what you say you're going to do and do what's expected of you.
Yeah. Instead of running around, you know, calling people names. I mean, that's basically what he's doing.
That's exactly what he's doing.
At every rally, he's just calling people names. It's easy. I got a whole bunch of names for him. Orange supremacists. I got a whole bunch of names. So, you know, I mean, we can go a whole list. It's easy. That's easy.
All right,
anyway.
Let's go ahead. We're about 26 minutes in. We're going to go ahead and take a break and go off politics and go into some other stories. There's a little bit of pop culture stuff to talk about today. Do a little Damien Escobar dueling violin. This is Adele's Hello. You're listening to Standing on My Soapbox. You got about a half hour to call in, 347-989-0126. Last show of the week. We hope to hear from you. Be back in just a couple minutes. Thank you. All right, that was our friend Damian Escobar from America's Got Talent about 6 or 7 years ago. Guys, you're listening to Standing on My Soapbox. We're here to take your calls for about the next 25 minutes, 347-989-0126. Let us know what's on your mind. We talk about the day's news, pop culture, and political stories. We just went through some political stuff. News today is we have some good news in the stock market today. After 4 weeks of ending lower than normal, they're surging today up about 400 points because I guess the China talks had a small little degree of possible good news today. Nothing specific, but they might. It looks like they may cancel the next round of tariffs that we're going to go.
Tariffs
going to bring what, $25 billion up to $30 billion was supposed to happen October 15th. Looks like that's been put on hold for a bit. They're having some small progress in their talks. Nothing definitive yet. So that sent the market up 400 points today, which is nice. Because as I said, it's been down for the last 3 weeks. So for the fourth week, it's finally going back up to where it was before. Close to it. You know, I've talked about this before. That's where a lot of our money is held, is in the, not all stock market, but it's in Franklin funds and things like that. So we've seen our stuff go back and forth. For the year, though, we're actually doing pretty good with the Franklin funds. We've gained 10,000 for the year. We were down a couple thousand last month. We got it back this month, so we'll see what happens.
Nice.
Such a volatile thing to do. It's hard to work on it. But we're up 10,000 for the year, so I'm happy about that. I have to give credit where credit's due. Of course, this is due to the president. It could be up more if we didn't have the damn China stuff going on. It might be up quite a bit more than that. But because we're so limited with all these sanctions and with trade being down so far, kind of kept the market set. Franklin funds are a pretty safe investment, so we've been trying to keep it there. That's my retirement, boys and girls. We don't have any advertising on this show yet. If you want to advertise, give us a call.
Yeah, 347-989-0126.
Oh, goodness.
What
else? Anything out there you want to talk about?
I'm just wondering if he changed the currency again. Did that happen over in China? And maybe that's why. And it probably has nothing to do with the tariffs that he just, that's what he did before in response. Was
last time he
changed the value.
He devalued the China money. You're right.
Yeah.
Right.
So did, and that's what affected our stock market.
That has not happened yet. No, that has not happened yet. They're in talks. These guys have been in Washington since Wednesday, I think. So they've been having talks. So supposedly the talks are going halfway decent. That's what this is speculation on. But it's also speculation because Donald Trump said, hey, the talks are going really good this morning. And we know that he is the pillow of virtue and truth. So who knows what's really happening. Based on his word alone, we went up 400 points. So if they can show some actually progress behind his words, we may get a little lucky. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. And then I guess today we talked about the Fox News poll yesterday, and actually 51% of Fox News respondents said they would like to see the president impeached and voted out of office. Today, their one pillar of journalism, Shep Smith, resigned. He's one
really?
Of their anchors during the daytime. Yep. He's one of the ones that told the truth in Fox News. He was... He said both sides, both liberal and Republican views, but he would tell the truth about everything that was going on. And he's been pilloried by 45 and by the Fox News late night hosts that are commentators, not actual news journalists. Shep Smith is
right.
An actual news journalist that's been doing the news midday at Fox News for quite a long time. I guess he hit his last raw nerve today, and he said, that's it, I'm done. So he has quit. Today's his last day. So there goes
their fair balance. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Fox News is owned by Rupert Murdoch. Okay, Rupert Murdoch is a douchebag from Australia or New Zealand, I'm not sure which, who owned the tabloids The Sun and The Star. Okay, the tabloids, not the actual sun that shines on us, but the tabloid, The Sun, which is all fake news. It always has been fake news. It always will be fake news. So Fox News is owned by Rupert Murdoch, and it is just a tabloid on air. That's all it is. It's a digital tabloid. So, you know, I don't know why anybody would believe anything that comes out of their mouths anyway. So to have an actual journalist leave, that means that it's a really bad place. That means right. that the journalist who is an actual journalist, who that's all they've done is tell the truth and tell the news as it's been given to us. He investigates the truth. That's what journalists do. To have them leave a tabloid is a good thing, actually, for that journalist, and a good thing for all of us to recognize, to go, oh, an actual journalist can't work under those conditions because they never tell the truth. Not the journalist, right. but Fox News. So, you know, it's and I can't say never, you know, it hardly ever. How's that? So, cause every once in a while, like you said, you know, he tries to get the truth out there as best he can, but there's so much interference by all the other stuff. You know, Fox News was one of the people that was, or one of the groups of people that were reporting that Ted Cruz's dad was involved in the Kennedy assassination. So, right. you know, all of this stuff that happened, you know, years ago during the campaign, you know, these are things that you cannot believe. So, you know, I'm just,
yeah, it was interesting
I'm hoping
too.
Everybody
they were talking,
recognizes that.
Right.
You know, that
they
the owner
the
of Fox News
how,
is a complete
while
douche.
Barr has been out traveling the world on this crusade to find evidence that the Mueller investigation was corrupt, Rupert Murdoch was one of the persons he met when he went to Australia.
Right.
And he had a nice little dinner with Rupert Murdoch. So, yeah, you have the Attorney General of the United States meeting with Rupert Murdoch.
Yeah, nothing corrupt or shady about any of that. Wow.
Yeah,
it's just so
blatant.
We want
our top law enforcement person to be hanging out with the tabloid guy. What the heck? It's like, come on.
Oh,
are you
man.
Kidding me here?
Yeah, it's just so obvious, and they're so blatant about it.
You can't make it up. I mean, literally, you can't make up a lot of the stuff that they do. It's like people wouldn't believe it. It just defies all credibility. But it happens. It keeps happening. So, yeah, there's that. What else is going on?
How about Jeffrey Epstein not being in the news anymore? What happened there, dude? You know, we've got the president of the United States hanging out with this guy for years and years and years, going to South Africa with him, going to Russia with him on his plane, and he's in jail for sex trafficking and then supposedly commits suicide. Dude, why is none of that still in the media? Why is
there
none of that? Nobody's talking about any of that.
Yeah, there was a small story yesterday, the day before yesterday, from the accuser, one of the female accusers who named names of the four women she said was helping him in this conspiracy thing. One was that one European girl we've heard before. One was his secretary that we've heard before, and two other names. But that's really it from the accuser. We haven't heard anything from anyone else about that. You're right. It's been kind of swept under the rug. But she did put out a little story, I think, trying to name two women that hadn't been named before as co-conspirators in this big plot he did for human trafficking and sex violations. So she's still trying to keep it out there, but no one else is, that's for sure.
Yeah, it seems really strange.
Yeah.
That it's just kind of getting
story
swept under
to go
the
away
rug.
Like that.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. You know,
the guy died,
one of,
so that's a little, I mean, that that maybe brings it behind closed doors, maybe, but you're right. It was so high profile for such a little bit, and then just to disappear. You'd think someone would be doing some follow-up on it. But like I said, that's the trouble with this presidency and this term. So we've had so much news. The news cycle literally happens basically every quarter of the day. It used to happen. We said, like, we talked about this, I think, last week. It used to be a 24-hour news cycle.
Every four or five hours.
A three-hour news cycle, 3 to 4 hour news cycle. You know, something else coming out, and it's literally too hard to keep up. And I honestly think that's halfway intentional. So you don't look at this shiny ball here. Look at the shiny ball over there, and forget about this one.
If the distractions,
right now.
If the distractions aren't for keeping us, you know, non-aware or unaware of the corruption that's happening, then what exactly are the distractions? Because, like I keep saying, they're so blatant about their corruption. They're so obvious. So what is the distraction, actually? I'm confused. Because usually you would distract in order to get out of whatever corrupt thing you did. So, you know, and this, well, that means the corruption must be really big. if you don't mind throwing out there, you know, that all these people are getting together, and you don't mind throwing out there that you had conversations with Russia, and you don't mind that you're actually verbalizing saying, hey, China, interfere in the 2020 elections. You know, you're actually standing up there and saying that in front of people. What are they actually hiding? What are they actually trying to hide? Because it's got to be really, really bad in order for them to be these other little things that we're doing that are bad, they're not so bad.
That's exactly right. It's like, if you're going to lie in plain sight about this, what are you hiding in the dark over there?
What are you hiding?
It's 100% true.
Yeah.
100% true. I agree. Let's see. Let's go into some pop culture things. We talked about my fryer yesterday, and I had a silly story that kind of ran across today.
Your air fryer?
My air fryer, yeah.
I'm getting ready
to try my air fryer this weekend, but I know we got off on food, but I want to talk about this real quick. Because one of the things I want to try is fried chicken in this thing. But there was an article today about –
Can you do tempura?
The real cost, huh?
Can you do tempura?
What?
Tempura.
You can.
Wow,
and like
dude.
I said,
that.
And I love.
I'm gonna get myself an air fryer.
Deep fried zucchini. So it's like I'll tell you how it works out here. So I'm looking forward to trying it. But I ran across this article. Those little $4.99 rotisserie chickens at. You ever go to the Sam's Club superstores or whatever? Yeah. Costco, whatever.
Yeah, I've been there.
There was a story today. Those things, they are selling 91 million of those things a year. It has its own, which one is it? The Costco rotisserie chickens have their own Facebook page with 13,000 followers on it. And they're using it in Costco like
what?
They use it in grocery stores. You know,
why would you
milk
follow
in the back
a chicken? Why would you follow chicken?
A cooked chicken,
what?
Not even live. It's not, it can't be a chicken.
Why would
camera
you follow
anything?
A cooked chicken? Dude, chickens are horrible for us. They're horrible. I know
people
like them, but dude, the way they're raised, you know, like hens that lay eggs for us, they don't have any legs because they don't get to run around. I mean, they're all short, and then the ones that we eat are genetically modified. I don't know if anybody actually understands what that means. That means they're born basically in a test tube, and they are genetically modified so that they are beefed up in areas like their wings and their breasts so that we could have more meat. But they don't have any eyes. They don't have any beaks. They don't have any talons on their feet. Dude, they're disgusting. Like they're no longer an animal. We have genetically modified them so that they become this mutant so that we can eat it. so that we can chop it up and eat it. There's very little nutritional value.
They taste just like chicken. I got to admit, I like myself a little chicken. Chicken is always yummy. So what I read about today is Costco is using these $4.99 rotisserie chickens like grocery stores use milk and dairy and put it in the far back of their store. So Costco has learned.
Oh, they taste just like chicken. Sorry, man. I bailed out on that. I'm still laughing. Oh, that's funny.
What I say is the article
and
says
they taste
what
just
they've
like
done
chicken.
Costco has learned from the grocery stores with this $4.99 rotisserie chicken they put in the very back of their Costco stores that people are spending on average $89 extra than what they planned on going in because you have to walk all the way to the back of the store to get it. So they find all these things. Some people are spending hundreds of dollars more than they planned. But that's why they put milk and eggs in the very back of the store. If you go to any grocery store, you're going to find the milk and eggs in the far corner of the store.
Right,
because they
the
know
front.
You're going to buy more on the way back to the checkout counter. And
or
that's
just walking
counting.
Down the aisles in order to get to the milk and the eggs.
Exactly.
Well, it's smart marketing. You know,
that's smart
as far as marketing is concerned. But, over chicken? Seriously? Wow.
$13,000
dude,
Facebook.
Do you have 13,000 followers? People aren't even following people. What?
I barely have 10,000 on Instagram and 7,000 on Twitter.
Why would you
follow the damn chickens
chicken?
Are more popular than I am.
What?
Not even a live chicken.
I don't understand it.
That's got to be bad for your ego. For some people, it's got to hurt that the chickens have more followers than they do.
Yeah. No, it is. It's bad. I don't even know what I have. I have like 1,000 followers or something. You know, and it's like, yeah, it hurts me. It hurts me that you guys are all following dead chickens and dead and baked chickens instead of a human who is actually trying to help you, trying to entertain you, trying to come up
exactly.
with ideas that will actually save your life. Wow. Follow a chicken. Unreal.
There you go.
I can't see myself following chicken.
You might have something different. If you tasted like chicken,
I don't know what I taste like. I have no idea what I taste like. We're entering into an area that I'm not sure we should be talking about on radio.
Well, The Walking Dead is premiering, I think, next week or so. So it's coming back
nice.
Very soon. So what the heck? So,
nice.
We're getting close to that. Speaking of which,
I haven't watched The Walking Dead since they killed Glenn. Since they killed, I can't think of the actor's name. I've been having a problem lately with actors' names. I don't know what it is, but Stephen Gwynn Gwynn, isn't that his name?
I don't watch the show. What character did he play?
Glenn, the character that originally started that saved Andrew Lincoln's character, that saved Rick Grimes.
I will
that,
find
that
out who
got
it is
him
because
out of,
I
out
don't
of the
watch
tank.
It. Glenn Reed.
Yeah. When they hit him over the head with a baseball bat.
Stephen Yen. Y-E-U-N.
Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yep. When they killed him off, that was it for me. I wasn't interested any longer. He was absolutely my favorite character. And then I did watch a little bit of The Kingdom after that. And when they went into The Kingdom and they were using a Bengal tiger, but it was a CGI Bengal tiger. And I'm like, you guys have made an immense amount of money. You think you could get a Bengal tiger? Even though, you know, yeah, it's dangerous. You don't know if they're going to bite you, you know, and all that. But most of the time, if you've got an animal trainer that has treated their animals correctly, that have treated them humanely, then and raised them from a pup or from a cub, then you're going to have a very, very decent animal, you know, as it gets bigger and older, unless it's a chimpanzee, because chimpanzees tend to become very angry in their older age. That's why Michael Jackson had to get rid of Bubbles.
It depends on the star. The star made a kibosh that you never know, but yeah.
You've got so much money. Use a real Bengal tiger, you know, and don't even have the star near it, you know. I mean, that's where you can use the CGI. Put the star next to the real Bengal tiger. So,
right.
You know, don't do the reverse, because it's really obvious, especially, I don't know, for someone like me that I'm into filmmaking. I've been into filmmaking since I was a kid. Did my first commercial when I was 4 years old. So I've got a little bit of an understanding of this, and it just was disappointing to me. It was just, you know, just very disappointing. And I haven't watched any of it since. I have no idea. I do know that Andrew Lincoln left after 11 years or 10 years. He left because he wants to spend more time with his children. So
yeah, it's
I totally
not my
get
type
it.
Of show. I never saw it. I haven't seen one episode, to be honest with you. I don't watch those kind of shows usually. But it's
the only
very
reason
popular.
That – yeah, no, the reason why it's popular is because of the love stories, the things that happen between the humans. And it's not necessarily about all of the gore. And
right.
So that's the only reason that it was really successful. Was because it was there's more of a soap opera involved in Walking Dead than
okay.
just, you know, horror and how do we get rid of, you know, or how do we defend ourselves against the undead. So
right. Well, speaking of popular shows, Breaking Bad, a sequel premiered on Netflix this weekend today.
El Camino.
Six years after Breaking Bad went off the air, it is back tonight. Or today on Netflix. It follows the character of Jesse Pinkman, who was, of course, was Aaron Paul, who won all sorts of awards for it. He took off
right.
in a Chevrolet El Camino, escaping cops as they came upon the big standoff from the show. It's supposed to be pretty good. It has lots of good cameos in it. And supposed to be a pretty good pretty good offshoot, and they may make a couple follow-ups if it becomes as popular as they think it's going to be
right
starting tonight. So interesting. Good for Aaron Paul.
I didn't get all the way through Breaking Bad, but I do know, you know, what happens. I've heard that this episode or this movie is really, really good. So I haven't seen it yet as well. I've heard that it's really good and that they do bring back some characters that, are dead. So I think it's interesting. I'm assuming they do it in flashback, you know, that they don't bring back dead people
right.
from, you know, in the series and
right.
make
no,
them
I guess
live
the
again.
Flashback stuff. You're right.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, there's a whole bunch of cameos.
So look for that this weekend. If you have nothing to do, go ahead and check that out. I'm going to watch the I told you tomorrow's supposed to be yucky here in Ohio, and I think my goal is to binge watch The Politician with Ben Platt and what's her
All
name?
Right.
Supposed to be really good. That's what my plan is for tomorrow.
You're still not watching Handmaid's Tale. Whatever.
I told you I'm not going to watch that.
Whatever. You should be watching it because of the things that are happening currently. You know, they're going against women's rights in this current administration. So, you know, and it's all about that. It really is all about women's rights in the United
States.
I
mean, there's two reasons I don't watch a show. I'm not interested whatsoever, which is Handmaid's Tale, even though it's truthful. And partly the reason of Handmaid's Tale. Anything that I haven't watched from the beginning, I don't usually go back and watch, especially binge watch everything. I'll binge watch things currently, like I haven't seen a current season. I'll binge watch
right.
a current season to catch up. But if I miss something that was last year, I usually won't start it this year.
Right.
Just, I don't know, this way. I don't
yeah,
have time.
Yeah, no, I try to binge watch, you know, all the way through. No, there's so much to watch, dude. We got like 9,000 channels
way
of crap to
much.
Choose from. So
exactly.
there's a lot. You mentioned Cameo just a minute ago, and I wanted to re-mention this. I said this before, I think last week. Katie Barberi, who just guest hosted with me 2 days ago, just joined Cameo, And Cameo is an app that you can get on your, or just look up their website. It is for actors that you want to get in contact with. And if you want them to give a birthday message or give a congratulations on a wedding or just to say.
Oh, we dropped you out right a couple seconds. Yeah. As I was saying, Cameo is Cameo.com. Cameo.com. And you can go to Cameo either through the app or go to the website, www.cameo.com. And there are a lot of celebrities, politicians, et cetera, on there that let you hire them for basically congratulations or something for a loved one, birthday, anniversary, or something like that. So www.cameo.com. Go ahead, Craig.
Did I really drop out on the word hi? Was that the last thing that anybody said? I mean, anybody heard me say?
I don't remember.
Anyway, yeah, Cameo. It's so that, you know, the you can get in contact with different. There's a lot of people on there. A lot of really good actors. Sean Astin's on there. Sarah Jessica Parker's on there. And if you just want them, you know, to congratulate a friend or say hello to a friend, because from what I understand, Katie just did one that that was for a friend that because she did Garbage Pail Kids when she was like 15 or 16 years old. She starred in that. And it was a fan of Garbage Pail Kids that just wanted to, it was like a friend of a friend and that wanted her to say hello to her friend just kind of as the character, but not really, but explaining some of the things in the movie. So,
right.
You know, it was very basic. It wasn't a happy birthday. It wasn't a congratulations. It wasn't any of that. It was just, hi, I'm Katie, and, you know, and thank you so much. And you know, she talked about Garbage Pail Kids, from what I understand. You know, and she's probably got 100 stories from that. So,
very cool.
Or more. Yeah.
All right. Well, we have 2 minutes left. So, we want to finish off. I did want to say two quick things. Big shout out. Jane Fonda was arrested today in Washington.
Yeah, go Jane.
For talking about climate change. She's decided to move to Washington for 4 months to take up the climate change baton. She's inviting other celebrities, scientists, economists to come talk. She's doing what's called Fire Drill Fridays every Friday through January. She's going to
be
talking about climate change.
Are they
going to
get arrested every Friday? How's that going to work?
She doesn't care. She said she doesn't care.
Yeah.
But yeah, very possible. So good for her. I mean, whether you love her or hate her, Hanoi Jane, or love her as actress, I think she's been calling attention to things for a long time. So congratulations on that for her Fire Drill Fridays in Washington. You can look for Jane
Fonda. If you've never seen a movie called Coming Home, you have to see a movie called Coming Home. And it's about a guy who's coming home from Vietnam, and Jane Fonda's in it. And it's John Voight. And
John Boyd, Academy Award nominated for a lot of awards too.
Yeah. It's a very, very powerful movie. And yes, she has been doing this with her career and with her own personal life for her entire life. She's been doing things like this. So, you know, see Coming Home, because that's a really,
it's a
powerful
movie.
Film.
Definitely.
And,
All right.
And
so
it has a lot. I'm just saying, it has a lot to do with
watching The Politician, going to Cameo,
Handmaid's
getting
Tale,
27 and all washed up, and read that over the weekend, and checking out
go.
Coming Home. We're going to finish up today. I want to give a shout out. Today is National Coming Out Day for my fellow LGBT community. If you are thinking about stepping out of the closet, there are a lot of resources. Go to hrc.com. And look for that. So congratulations on all those coming out of the closet and living their one true life today. Craig, thanks for another great week of radio. We'll be back Monday through Friday next week at 3:00 Pacific, 6 o'clock Eastern, right here on Left to Straight Radio Network. We'll end out today with a little Ginger Minge. I am what I am. Bye-bye.
Peace.
I am what I am. I am my own special creation. So come, take a look. Give me the hook or the ovation.